But now a story you just don't hear that often. It's about a judge at the pinnacle of his career stepping down to defend a man he's convinced was wrongly incarcerated, in part on his watch. Let's back up. Scott Kupp was a defense lawyer in the 1990s when he first heard that Leo Schofield, from prison, was proclaiming his innocence in the brutal stabbing murder of his 18-year-old wife, Michelle, in 1986. Didn't that neighbor see Leo carrying something out of the family's trailer? But then, no blood was found, and fingerprints were found in Michelle's car, and it turns out they belonged to another convicted murderer. With that new evidence, Scott, again a lawyer, decided to defend Leo in an appeal, which they lost. Scott Kupp went on to become a judge, but then the man whose fingerprints were found confessed on the stand during another appeal to murdering Michelle. The prosecutor wore him down. The parole board turned down Leo Schofield's appeal. So Judge Kupp is now stepping down to defend Leo again in an appeal set for May. The story is being chronicled in the popular Bone Valley podcast from Gilbert King. Judge Kupp, Scott, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, as you all know, the state, in the form of Jacob Orr, Chief Assistant State Attorney for Florida's 10th Judicial Circuit, is saying they are not backing down because of the overwhelming amount of evidence proving Leo Schofield guilty.
Well, they're just wrong. One of the things I've been pretty adamant about for quite a long time, because I used to just beat my head against the wall trying to talk to people about this, kind of an iron fast rule that unless and until you've read the trial transcript, we really don't have much to talk about.
Well, tell us more about what we'd find.
Basically, there wasn't any evidence to support the conviction.
None. They had the neighbor who saw Leo carrying something suspicious out of the trailer. They had his confession that he did hit her occasionally.
Yeah, that is about it. And the neighbor, Alice Scott, and her sister-in-law, Linda Sells, their testimonies directly contradict each other. What Alice claims she saw, and that's Leo carrying something out wrapped in something that looked like a carpet, Linda Sells specifically says was not that same night. And I've talked to Leo about this several times. Leo played in a band. Speakers were rather large, and he said, you know, I very well, and I'm sure I did, wrap them in a quilt, an area rug, or something like that. So that could be an explanation for what she saw. But it just, if Michelle was stabbed 26 times, there would be blood in the trailer, and there just wasn't.
We mentioned the fingerprints. Leo Schofield, while in prison, married a social worker, Chrissy Carter. They'd never been alone together. But Chrissy Carter, that social worker, fought to get those fingerprints that were found in Michelle's car tested. And your then wife, who was a police officer, was the one who tested those fingerprints and found that they belonged to Jeremy Scott, who was serving a life sentence for beating a man to death with a grape juice bottle. I mean, someone who...
And strangling him with a telephone cord.
Okay. You'd been someone who'd said if Leo Schofield was innocent, you were the Queen of Sheba. But when Jeremy's fingerprints were found, is that when you said, I've got to defend Leo?
Well, actually, it was before that. I came to that conclusion once I decided to look at the trial transcript because I kept refusing to do it. I just wasn't going to waste my time.
Yeah, and you thought he was guilty.
Right, without even saying anything. I became convinced when I first read the trial transcript, I was like, oh my word, This guy is innocent. This is before we knew anything about Jeremy Scott.
Jeremy Scott, who once again, those are his fingerprints in the car. You, in 2005, defend Leo Schofield in a hearing with that new evidence. You thought it was going to be an open shut case. It wasn't. What did you think then?
The words kind of fail. I need to figure out some new ones, but I couldn't believe it when I read the judge's opinion that he denied us a new trial. And that's all we're asking for at that point was not, you know, an overturning of the conviction or saying that, you know, he's innocent. It's, hey, another jury needs to look at this.
you go on, become a prosecutor, a judge. Then in 2017, Jeremy Scott, again, the man whose fingerprints were in Michelle's car, takes the stand in another hearing and confesses to murdering Michelle. He is mentally disabled. The prosecutors wear him down, but he confessed, and the appeal was denied. Now, you were a judge at this point. Were you there?
I can say it now, but I snuck in and I was sitting in the back of the courtroom. I heard what I heard, and it was like, you know, the oft-quoted Yogi Berra. All over again, deja vu, there we go. It's just maddening.
You meet podcaster Gilbert King, who's a Pulitzer Prize-winning author who's written a book about men falsely accused. Gilbert begins the Bone Valley podcast about Leo. Leo Schofield, he got a bachelor's degree from New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, leads a prison ministry. He could have pled guilty to a lesser charge in 1989, second-degree murder. That would have given him only a 12-year sentence. He didn't do it. And during parole hearings, he's been asked to apologize. Here's what he had to say about that in the Bone Valley podcast.
I don't know how you can expect someone to apologize for something that they did not do. Why is it that somebody can go up before them and say, I'm really sorry, and somehow that makes them more amicable to making a decision to parole them than someone who has stood on his innocence for the entire time from the trial all the way through 35 years. I gained nothing by standing on a claim of innocence.
Scott Kupp, you've been accused of grandstanding. You scoff at that, but say you're actually being selfish in defending Leo. What do you mean by that?
Well, if I can finally succeed and get this man out of prison, then I'm going to feel a lot better about what I've been involved in for all those years, because it's been difficult to watch this. Having been a prosecutor, having been a defense lawyer, and having been a judge, and then having sat across and spent many, many hours speaking to Leo.
I'm reading some of your comments. One is, God help us if we can't get this right. Do you feel that there's a higher judge that you're responding to?
There's no question. That's probably the biggest, well, it is the biggest thing that I've gotten out of this, and I've gotten it from Leo. Because to say that I was a man of faith, there's a lot of people out there, when they hear that, they'll just be like, are you kidding me, Kupp? But this has been a long journey for me. And it started not too long after I met Leo. Leo and I, we've spent a lot of time talking about this, especially over the last couple months when I knew what I was going to do. And it really is a God thing. There's no question in my mind that there's a plan here, and we're playing parts. We talked about this yesterday. I don't know.
Yeah. People often ask, well, what about the victim, 18-year-old Michelle Schofield? It sounds as if you are convinced that her killer is in jail. It's Jeremy Scott, whose fingerprints were in her car and who confessed on the stand to killing her.
Yes. How do I not then add Jeremy to my prayers every morning, which I have and had not before I listened to Leo, and how he dealt with it, and how he's forgiven Jeremy. Now, how do we not forgive Jeremy if Leo can? It's something else. It's really, it's kind of life-changing.
Well, former Florida judge Scott Kupp, who stepped down from the bench to focus on defending, and he hopes exonerating Leo Schofield, who he and others maintain is not responsible for the 1980s murder of 18-year-old Michelle Schofield. Judge Kupp, thank you so much for speaking to us about it.
Thank you for your time.
And Leo Schofield's next appearance in front of the parole board is expected in early May. Scott Kupp will be standing with him. We reached out to Florida's 10th Judicial Circuit for more comment. We haven't heard back. We'll include any statements at hereandnow.org.